My name is Valerie Kaur. I grew up in California Central Valley in a little town called Clovis, a very agrarian community, small, very conservative, mostly white, mostly Christian. My experience is different from many of my peers because my grandfather came on a steamship from Punjab, from India, to the shores of California in 1913, so almost 100 years ago. He was one of the first pioneers to come from India. My father was born and raised in the same plot of land that my grandfather had farmed all those years, the same land that my house stands on today. So I was born as a third-generation child. Growing up, I remember feeling like I didn't quite belong at my school. I felt like my color and my religion marked me as different somehow. But at the same time, I felt like I didn't completely belong in the local Gurdwara. It was mostly an immigrant community, and my family felt very much on the outside when we would go. I imagine a little girl whose name was Valerie, I was born on Valentine's Day, very American name, who spoke very poor Punjabi, who get made fun of a lot. I felt like I was seen by the aunties and uncles as a kind of whitewashed outcast, kind of this hopeless case. So when I began having these experiences at school, beginning in junior high school, all the way through high school, of confrontations with best friends and teachers who approached me very lovingly, very genuinely, seeking to convert me to Christianity, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to turn. My family wasn't the kind of family who spoke about the meaning of life over the dinner table. I only had my grandfather with me. He didn't say a word. All he did was put a stack of books on Sikh theology on my desk. So I would go to school by day and read about Sikh history and culture and theology by night. And finally he said, you need to start going to Gurdwara with me. So there's one experience that I'd really like to share that sums everything up, I believe. I was 16 years old. I accompanied my grandfather to the Gurdwara. My journey, my scarf was always slipping, and you notice it still slips. I'll never put it down, I think it's a testament to my third generation status. But so I walk into the Gurdwara, I'm up cuddling on the floor, and I see the Ikum God, the God is one, on the Gurdwara side. I sit with my grandfather, and in the Sikh temple, in the house of worship, you have women sitting on one side and men sitting on the other. It's a bit a cultural reason. In my relentless desire to subvert the system, I sat with my grandfather on the men's side, right about here, across from the kitchen. I closed my eyes that day, and I began listening, and I don't know what it was. It must have been the quality of the shabad of the kirtan that was sung. The voice was slow and haunting, the tabla and the baja, the music unfolding, and I began to see images in my mind of experiences that I had at school. I'm sitting and I see all of my best friends in a circle around me at lunch. And we're talking about religion. We had just come from a biology lecture on evolution. And pretty soon I say, so you all think that I'm going to hell. And they all sort of shift uncomfortably in their chairs and kind of look aside and kind of nod yes. I remember going home crying that day. I see my teacher, my mentor of 6 years, the woman I adored all my life, my coach, sitting across from me at the coffee table, her eyes very wide, and she says, the reason you're confused, the reason that you're searching is because you haven't accepted Christ into your life. And I say, I believe in Jesus, I believe in his message, I believe in the spiritual teachings. Why can't I also be Christian while being Sikh? If I accept the teachings itself. I was trying to stop her. And she shook her head and said, no, you have to say these words. And I said, what about my grandfather, who lived such a good life, he came to this country, he passed down his ideals, and she says, no, the reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to save your entire family who's in peril. I go home crying. I see my godmother walking into my home. And she brings with her a woman from her church. And the woman, as soon as she sees me, her face breaks and she says, oh Lord, they're so hungry for you. And she sits me down and she puts her hand over my heart and she begins rocking back and forth. and shaking her hand over my heart, and she began saying things, asking me to repeat them. And so far, I'm repeating them, I'm repeating them. God, you know, God is present, God is in our lives. We're all children of God. And then finally, I accept Jesus Christ as my only Lord and Savior. And I say, only? And she stops because her trance isn't working. And she sits down next to me and she says, what is ailing you? And I say, I have a problem with the word only. And she says, one way, one life, one God. And I tell her that I'm confused and I'm searching, and she starts speaking in tongues. And she says, the devil is near me. And every time I'm confused, it is the devil who is speaking to me. And she starts speaking in a way that I can't understand. And the devil was apparently very close to me to back off. She leaves the house, and then I cry. I see myself at night, wondering, searching, talking to myself, wondering if it is my voice or if it is the devil's voice. And at that point, I thought this was the only way to be Christian. I thought the entire country was this way. I thought the West was this way. I felt very alone, trying to reconcile myself with my world. And then I see an image of my mother, draped in white, sitting before the bhaja on Sunday morning and singing and doing kirtan. She's bathed in sunlight. And I am jolted by that image of purity and of light. And I open my eyes, and the kirtan is still going, and I look across just like this, and I see the mother holding the child, rocking back and forth. I see the husband glance a furtive smile at his wife on the other side. I see the old Nanaji, the old grandmother, sit, eyes closed in complete meditation. At that moment, I imagined that down the street, at this Brahma Gurdwara, there would be a church. And in that church, there would stand a priest, a preacher, who would be condemning all of us sitting in this room, gathered together in prayer, in meditation. How could he? How could he say that we are burning in the fires of hell? How dare he? And at that moment, I don't know what possessed me. I must have had very little sleep. But in the middle of the kirtan, I get up, I do mapadik, and I march out of the room. I have my red salwar on. I put my shoes back on. I get on the street. And this is Fresno, so two Mexican children are riding their bicycles, looking at this girl in Indian salwar, walking very with submission down the street to confront the preacher in the church. I wanted to ask him myself. I walk down the street. My jimmy is still slipping. And I approach the doors of the church, and I bang on the church door, and I realize, what am I doing? And who opens the door but a little old lady in a flowery dress? And there's nobody inside. She says, can I help you? And I realize that she's been playing the organ, and so I say, can I just sit and listen to you play? And so she says, what? Of course, darling, come in. And it's a wooden church, it's like this. I sit down, and the woman begins at the organ, and she begins playing. And it's a completely different quality of sound, but it is just as haunting, just as mysterious, just as aching as the kirtan that I just heard. And I look up, and I see the cross that had always inspired so much fear for me. Just the image of it was a sign of condemnation to me. And I look above it, and I see an image of Jesus, and his arms are outstretched. And I begin imagining at that point, and just letting follow in my mind, I see lines extending from his arms into an intricate canopy of lines and diagrams, extending into almost into infinity. And I see in that intricate matrix of lines the sign for Ikonga in Jesus' arms. At that point, I began sobbing again. And the woman, she's done playing, and she turns around, and here's this little Indian girl in tears on the seat, and she asks me what's wrong. And then I decide to confront her. I decide that I will ask this woman, and whatever she says, well, you know, I'm ready for the fight. I'm ready to defend my people, my community. I say, I just can't imagine how there could be such a thing as an exclusivist God. and here I'm ready for the battle. And she says, I can't either. And we begin laughing and crying, and I realize that this woman is an ambassador. Just like I was an ambassador, I had to leave my good water. She had to let me in to meet at this borderland. And you can imagine, I believe that was the beginnings of my whole journey in theological studies that brought me to a divinity school, no less. And I have to admit, last semester was really difficult for me. But I believe this semester, I finally found a space that really embodies the idea of a borderland, of a meeting space, of ambassadors gathered together like this, so that when I come every week, I can look up at the image